To him who loved us and freed us from our sins, be glory and praise and blessing now and forever. Amen. We meditate this evening on some verses from Luke chapter 7, verses 44 to 50. Then Jesus turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. In the name of our suffering Savior, dear fellow Christians, fellow criminals at the cross, forgiven. One of the difficult things about growing up as a Christian is knowing people who go through changes in their life, and sometimes it's really hard to observe it, and it's very painful. It's painful to watch, and it's painful for the ones who are going through it. You can think of a young girl in the suburbs, always bubbly in her personality, gets in with the wrong crowd, starts listening to goth music, and pretty soon that's the way she looks. And suddenly her whole attitude changes, doesn't want to be around adults anymore, just difficult, painful. Or a young man who was respectful to his parents and loved his church and just good to have around, again into the wrong crowd. You know, we're influenced so much by who we hang out with, and pretty soon his parents can't do anything right anymore. He has nothing respectful to say, can't work with him, hates his church, gets into the drugs and all that, and loses his life. It happens. Or the change that can happen into someone who's an alcoholic and the family's trying to intervene and draw him out of his addiction, and he just doubles down on it. And as he does, you can see him aging, you know, 10 years to every one for everybody else. You see him again after a while and can't believe. It's shocking how he's gone downhill because of the alcohol. Painful to see, painful for those who are in it, and deadly at times. And sometimes there are changes that go the other way. And they're certainly a joy to see. Maybe somebody you know at work that just close to burnout, just really, really angry all the time, and then finally gets, you know, 10 days in Mexico. Comes back tan, relaxed, much easier to be around. Vacations can be really a blessing. Or the young man who went that way, goes off to boot camp in the Marines, and then comes back looking pretty sharp, pretty lean, much more respectful, in fact, overflowing with yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Older woman in pain, really bad in the back, walker, shuffling around all the time, goes to the hospital, successful surgery, comes back almost pain-free, just feels better all the way around. There are those changes sometimes when you look at them and say, "Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers and blessing the people around us." But you look at Jesus, our Savior, and we talked about that last week, how he is unchanging. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He is unflinching in spite of all the criticism against him. And one of the ones that you really kind of find puzzling is they criticized him for what we would maybe call a party animal. They didn't like the fact that he would hang out with the dregs of society, in some cases women of ill repute, tax collectors. Are you kidding me? That's where Jesus was. But today we also see that he would go to the home of a Pharisee. In fact, in this case, Simon the Pharisee. Simon apparently invited him over. We don't know much about Simon, except you know what a Pharisee is. That would be a religious professional. His whole life a show for everyone to see that he believes he is keeping God's law to perfection, and what's wrong with all you guys? That was their attitude, that was their life. And so when he is the one who invites Jesus over for dinner, we don't know much about the dinner. We don't know much about the guests. But you can sure see what Simon is like when everybody gets there. His reaction is all Pharisee. This uninvited guest comes in. Some of you know this story. I didn't read those verses before, but she suddenly appears, and Simon is all over that in his heart. He hasn't said anything, but he cannot believe that she would show up uninvited, unwanted. How dare she come here? And then he sees Jesus' reaction to what she does, and how can he possibly be a prophet? He wouldn't let this disaster of a moral situation ever touch him if he was actually a prophet. No way. And so he reacts in anger. He's not really there so much to feed Jesus as to question him, and whatever he can do to show Jesus up, that's what the Pharisees were all about. And the woman. They've tried to guess who it is, but the Bible doesn't tell us, and I believe that's on purpose. The Holy Spirit just leaves that part of information out, and she comes, she's called here a sinful woman, which is a polite way of saying she was a prostitute, a hooker. She comes, and she comes in, and she takes this very expensive perfume, pours it on Jesus. She's standing at his feet weeping. Remember, they're reclining at the table, so their feet are back to the side behind them. She wets his feet with her tears, wipes them with her hair, kisses and pours a perfume on them, and then the reaction. As church people, we maybe don't stop too much to think about this either. But what was her life like? Did she maybe at times cry tears of shame for where she ended up in her life? Were there times when she cried herself to sleep at night that she felt so trapped? Where to go? What to do? Other women her age are in loving homes, in the arms of protective husbands, and here she is, and then she gets hungry. And what does she do but sell herself in order to not be hungry? What can she do? She finds no way out. She's trapped. And then she hears about this rabbi who in his preaching and his teaching does not turn away from women like her. She may have even stood off and listened from outside the crowd to hear those sweet words that came from his lips. And so she comes. And she really doesn't care what anyone thinks. The reaction of Simon, all Pharisee. The reaction of God's Son, pure mercy, pure grace. Jesus is not the only one preaching here. You have two silent sermons. The woman didn't say a word, and yet she preaches quite the sermon, doesn't she? The lips that once were sold, the body that once was sold to the highest bidder, comes and is given completely, purely, thankfully to the Lord to anoint him, to honor him in ways that no one else did, in ways that his enemies certainly didn't do, and neither his disciples even. She's pouring that perfume on his feet and kissing them, wiping his feet with her hair. And Jesus' reaction is pure mercy, because those are the feet that took him to the cross finally to die for her sins too. Everything changes in her life. Everything is now given over completely to the Lord. You can hear her sermon loud and clear. You can smell it in the fragrance of the perfume. And yet she doesn't say a word. The other silent sermon, that would be Simon. Not a word. But you hear him loud and clear too, don't you? The self-righteousness, the condemnation of the Lord for not being the kind of Savior that someone like Simon would demand. Don't we hear a lot of that in our day and age too, the criticism of Jesus? They just don't like that kind of Savior. I heard a rabbi on the radio one time saying, we don't need a Messiah who dies on a cross. Quote, unquote. Very conscious in our society today to the rejection of someone who, the woman just a few blocks away from church here in her driveway told me how despicable that someone would give his own child for someone else. But it's for your sins. But I don't have any sins. She finally told me to leave. It's the way of the world. His sermon was silent, but Simon was preaching. And so then the question really comes down to, all right, what is the sermon of your life? Even when you don't say any words. See, we'd all love to be able to see ourselves here with the forgiven prostitute in the grace and mercy of the Lord. Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He tried to get to Simon by telling him that parable of two money, you know, that owed the money to the money lender, 500 denarii, that's, you know, 500 days' wages, the other owes 50. The amounts don't matter, it's just that one was forgiven so much, inexplicably, the creditor forgives everybody their debts. Now who's going to love more? And it's obviously the one who's been forgiven the most. Simon, look at her. She's been forgiven so much. But you haven't even given me the time of day here, really. I come to your house. You don't extend to me the normal courtesies. But look at her. She just hasn't stopped since I got here. Simon isn't reached. We don't want to be him. We'd rather be her in that forgiveness. So, when was the last time you cried tears of deep sorrow for sin or shame in your life? We're not forgiven by the depth of our sorrow, thank God, but when was the last time you gave an over-the-top offering without hearing 3 weeks of sermons from the pastors? She wouldn't be stopped. When was the last time you were so shameless that you really didn't care what anybody around you thought or said, let's say at work, at school? Here at church, it's easy, right? Because we're among friends and family and we come to praise the Lord, but it does get difficult out there. The shamelessness, the determination that nothing could stop her from coming no matter what people thought. When was the last time you said nothing was going to stop you from worshiping the Lord, or your time alone with him in the morning or the evening or both? That determination that she just wouldn't be put off by her own schedule. Nothing else was more important. We love to think of ourselves as right there with her, but it's his kindness always that leads us to repentance. It's how Jesus reacted and reacts that gives us the peace that surpasses all understanding. Because what he said to her, he says to you and me, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So Jesus came and ate a dinner at a banquet, but he spreads a banquet for us. That favorite Psalm 23. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Constantly in mercy, he loves us and forgives us. The perfume that she poured on his feet, he also experienced that, yes, but he also anoints us, not with perfume, but with the forgiveness of his shed blood that washes away all our sins constantly, continuously, and forever. She's pouring out the tears from her eyes onto his feet. And Jesus, in his great mercy, pours out on us the blessing of baptism, that flood of mercy that washes us clean. And he wants us to remember it daily, to relive it daily. Not just for once in your life, but forever and for always. As she wipes his feet with her hair, you think of those feet that are constantly running with the gospel to bring it to you and me so that that peace that surpasses all understanding can guard our hearts and minds by faith in Christ Jesus. Everything changed for her once God got through to her heart with forgiveness and mercy. Everything stayed the same for the Pharisee because he refused to repent. I do find it comforting in the book of Acts, though, that it says many priests came to the faith, and many of those priests were Pharisees. There were some who, after Jesus died and rose again, finally were turned around in that beauty of repentance that brought them to the Lord, and everything changed for them too then. We look at things so differently when the Lord has brought this gift of repentance and the beauty of it to our hearts. What to many people is just a church building here, we sometimes hear positive comments. Your parking lot is always full. Oh, that's the church that's so well cared for. It looks so nice there in the little hollow, you know. And as people drive by, we wish they'd stop in and hear the message. That's what I tell them when they comment like that. But to us, it's not just a building. It's a place where we get to come and hear the word of the Lord and say our prayers and receive the blessing. The preemptive strikes that the Holy Spirit does on problems that he knows are ahead of us in our lives, and he's going to fill our batteries and give us peace and wisdom and strength to face those before we even get there. Like one old man who said, if he got nothing else out of the service, remember that? He said, the blessing would be enough. I'd go for the blessing. We see the offering plate. Some people would be turned off by that, and you and I look at it as another opportunity to thank our God as we pray, praise, and give thanks in tangible ways. Some see a liturgy, an order of service. We see it as a roadmap to come into the presence of God, confess our sins, receive his forgiveness, say our prayers, hear his word, and go again in peace in the strength of the Lord. It just all changes. You see a stranger. That's another soul redeemed by the blood of Christ, and another one to be concerned about and at least pray for, even if you don't get a chance to introduce yourself. Welcome them back. And dear friends, if you see someone come back after a long time away that you haven't seen for a while, please don't say, I haven't seen you for a while. Say, it's so good to see you. Welcome back. Remember the Lord's mercy, because he remembers his mercy on us. Your fellow members are your brothers and sisters in Christ as you see them through the eyes of faith. The children of the congregation are our children as we see them through the eyes of faith. We see the opportunity then finally to leave this place, and that's the opportunity to go out into the mission field and proclaim the mercy and grace of God, because he changes things. You know, if a Marine sergeant in a matter of weeks could change a young man into someone who really looks different and is really much better to be around, what about the Lord of the universe? with constant, eternal, overflowing love, His mercy, His grace. It does change us. My constant prayer in my personal faith life is, Lord, don't let me be the same tomorrow as I am today, or today as I was yesterday. Make me different. Change my heart, O Lord. Change me day by day. Make me more and more like Jesus. And he who would, in mercy, love a woman to full and free repentance, and love us even when we are too much like Simon and not enough like her. Such a Lord, such a Savior is glad to hear prayers of, Lord, grant us that repentance. It is a gift of God, along with the faith to receive it. We don't do these things for little Simon inside us to impress the Pharisees around us. We don't do these things as if we have something to prove to God. But hearts that overflow with thanks, the gratitude, Lord, give us more of that. Change us all in the beauty of repentance. Amen.